Shannon and I have entered into a season of life where things are different. I'm going to a conference next month, and now when I go to a conference, or my wife and I go to a conference, we go as mentors, not as just peers so much. And that's okay. Every part of my life can bring glory to God. And I'm fine with this season that I am in as I get older. I've told some of you that when I was in my 20s, I could go play sports all day and just get up the next day and go. I got into my 30s and I could play sports all day, but I'd wake up in the morning and I was a little sore. I got into my 40s and I'd wake up in the morning and I was sore and I didn't do anything the night before. And now I'm at the season of life where I wake up in the morning and my neck hurts because I hurt myself sleeping. That's where I'm at. But that's okay. And I don't resent that because Scripture is clear. Outwardly, we are wasting away. But the good news, the same verse says, inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. But are we? Because it seems to me that many Christians are not doing renewing very well. And over these last several years, especially as a pastor, nothing has burdened my heart more than to see Christians that I know who are tired and anxious, and even joyless. And the last thing that they would want me as their pastor to pray over them is what the Apostle John prayed over his friend. Look with me, 3 John verse 2 simply says this: "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you." Now, that's okay. But then he said, "Even as your soul is getting along well." Even as. Would you want someone to pray that over you? Would you want me to pray over you right now? You know what? I hope everything in your entire life, your finances, your job, your health, your kids, your family, everything out there is doing as well as your soul is doing. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in this series, and I've called this Soul Full. And hopefully what we're going to do is be very honest, and we're going to evaluate how we are doing. And I'm going to ask you today 5 important questions, and here is the first question that I want you to think upon. This is it. Is it well with my soul? Ask yourself right now, is it well with my soul? You see, God created us as a body and a soul. Our soul is not just part of us. Our soul, in many ways, is the center of us. You don't just have a soul, you are a soul. And our very being was made to be saturated with the being of God. Our soul is that part of us with which God fills. So David could say in Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" That soul was that part of him that was longing for more communion with God. You know, when you read the Old Testament and Hebrew poetry, typically they will repeat themselves with a second line saying the exact same thing, but not with the same words as the first line. So look at this song, Psalm 103, verse 1. "Praise the Lord, my soul." And then it repeats, same idea, different words. "All my inmost being, praise his holy name. My soul is that deep inner part of me where I most intimately commune with God. And this is why the enemy is relentless in making war against our souls. So let me state the obvious. And let me state where my greatest burden as a pastor over these last several years has been, because it seems more and more that we live in a culture that has normalized a way of life that is absolutely toxic to our souls. And I think the evidence is all around us. Skyrocketing rates of anxiety and depression. The rising abuse of alcohol, opioids, and other pharmaceuticals. The constant airing of offense and outrage and grievances. And maybe most of all, seeing people that I know, people that I love, who seem like they're always exhausted inside. And that has become the new normal. And we keep telling ourselves, you know, it's just a season. It's not just a season. It's become our lifestyle. And we are living in ways that is costing us our souls. And when you lose your soul, you lose any connection with God. And I know many Christians who wouldn't want what John prayed to be prayed over them. Everything in your life, I hope it goes as well as your soul's doing right now. Be honest, would you want that prayer prayed over you? Would you want everything else in your life to be as healthy as your soul is right now? You see, the good news is that Jesus understands, and he offers you and I something better. Perhaps the most beautiful invitation that Jesus has ever given was in Matthew 11:28, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He's not just offering temporary relief, he's offering restoration. He's offering a better way to live that actually keeps our souls healthy. He's offering not just to be our Savior for eternity, he's offering to be our shepherd in our daily lives, which calls to mind maybe the greatest song ever written. I know that's a bold claim, but when you've been on the top charts for over 3,000 years, you kind of get to say that. But here's the song. It was read at the very beginning of our worship service by Kay. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." So for the next 4 weeks, can I ask you to be really, really honest? Is it well with your soul? I remind you of the words of two of history's greatest philosophers. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." And of course, Ice Cube said, "You better check yourself before you wreck yourself." So I'm going to ask you some questions this morning, and I want you to check yourself. Here's the next question. Is my soul undernourished? I believe much of the damage that we are doing to our souls is self-inflicted. And it begins with the vacuous, the frivolous, even poisonous diets that we feed our souls. Let's get honest. A huge part of the problem are these dopamine dispensers we carry in our pockets. The Lord has convicted me. The damage I think that I'm doing is impacting me in ways that I cannot see and do not understand even. And I've come to the conclusion that my soul cannot do life at the speed of my smartphone. My soul cannot absorb all of the evil and suffering and pain and hate and anger in all of the world in just 1 second. And it's not good for my soul to be sucked into all of the vacuous distraction that this little dopamine dispenser offers for me all the time. And before you get testy, let me just ask you a question. Have you ever, even one time, after 30 minutes scrolling on your phone, going down a rabbit trail of memes and playing games and looking at comments and looking at videos, have you ever, one time, after 30 minutes of going through your phone, said, "Man, I feel closer to God"? Our souls are overgorged and undernourished. And they can't rest. We are like sheep. Sheep cannot rest until they are full. And so it is the task, it is the job of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep have a diet that actually nourishes them. Our shepherd has actually done that for us. Again, the psalmist says to us, Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." God says, I can provide a diet that is good for your soul. And so one of the things that God has convicted me about is, and I'm going to be much more intentional about, is what I'm feeding my soul. For example, removing social media apps from your cell phone. I'm not saying disconnect your account, although I see no downside to that. But I'm saying just take the app off of your phone. Maybe if you don't do that, how about this? Go into your notification settings on your phone and turn off all social media notifications on your phone. Another thing that I've been convicted about is I need to be more comfortable with just being alone and quiet with God. I don't have to, every time I get into the car, turn a knob or push a button. I can spend the time that I have been spending in the car just praying and listening to God, because it's good for my soul. Augustine said that we must empty ourselves of that, all that fills us, if we want to fill ourselves of that with which we are empty. So I'm just asking you, and be honest, is your current diet healthy for your soul? Is your soul undernourished? Here's another question for you. Is my soul over anxious? You see, in David's day, there were lions and there were bears and there were wolves and they roamed the countryside. And the sheep knew that. And they were restless as a result. Because sheep, they don't have teeth, they don't have claws. And the only way a sheep can defend itself is to run when a predator comes. So that's why they were always skittish and looking around and having a hard time actually resting. And like sheep, anxiety-producing situations are not for us just an occasional possibility. They are a constant reality. We cannot escape the fact that we live in a world that is full of things for you and I to worry about. You know, in the year 2022, there was a word that became the word of the year. HarperCollins proclaimed it as the word of the year. The word was perma-crisis. Permanent crisis, one after the other, stacked on top of the other. Think about just these last 5 years. Pandemic, political instability, a war in Ukraine, a war in Israel, racial tensions, inflation. I could go on and on and on. And you could never manage or manipulate life in a way that will eliminate the potential for stress on your life. Just like sheep cannot live where there are not lions or wolves or bears. The only thing that could calm a sheep down was to know they were in the presence of their shepherd. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So could it be that behind a whole bunch of my soul weariness is this admission that functionally I've just stopped coming to Jesus? And when we get anxious, when I get stressed out, when I'm just burned out, fried up, we go to Netflix, we go to a video game, we go to the gym, we go to a bottle. We just keep maintaining a lifestyle that frustrates our soul from being restored by God. About 20 years ago, there were 3 fishing boats, all in the space of about 2 weeks, that sank off the coast of New England. Port authorities investigated. 10 men lost their lives as a result, by the way, of these 3 fishing boats sinking. The interesting thing was not one of those boats had a leak in the hull of the boat. They were all captained by veteran sailors who knew what they were doing. And all 3 boats were on their way back to the harbor. You see, what these boats had in common, they were all clam vessels. They had these clam traps. The clam traps, empty, weighed about 300 pounds. But when you fill them with clams, they weigh anywhere from 1,000 pounds to a ton and a half. And they had, each boat, 10 more traps on their boats than they were supposed to have. Well, how did that happen? Well, it just became standard industry practice. You see, someone figured out, well, if we just put one more trap on the boat, we can carry that. It's not going to add that much more weight, and we can get a little bit more profit. Well, if we do 5 more, we'll get a lot more profit. And so, it became normal for these boats to have 10 to 15 15 more tons of weight on them than they were actually regulated or supposed to have. And what became accepted as standard practice actually ended up proving fatal. Jesus is saying, you don't have to live the way that you've actually been living. What you call normal isn't how it has to be. I want to invite you into a way of life that will actually restore your soul. The scripture literally pleads in Psalm 116, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. 2025 doesn't have to be like the last 5 years. We can live a new normal. Jesus is offering you a way to save your soul if that's what you want. But have you ever said something that you wanted it, but kind of deep down, you knew you weren't going to actually make the changes that were necessary to actually get what you wanted? So I never learned to drink coffee as a young man. If I needed a caffeine kick, I would just buy a soda pop. And I learned, as you will, if you don't know, when you get older, your metabolism slows down and you can't manage and handle all of that sugar. So I taught myself to like diet pops, in particular, Coke Zero. Don't judge me. But I will confess, I drink too much Coke Zero. There's one in my office right now. But I want to drink less Coke Zero. I need to drink less Coke Zero for a lot of reasons. I mean, I don't know if you heard, there's a study that said that there is a connection between diet soda and short-term memory loss. For years, there have been studies suggesting there might be a link between artificial sweeteners and some kinds of cancer. And there's no way all of that carbonation and caffeine in my body every day is good for me. And I don't know if you've heard this or not, but there was a study recently that said there's a connection between diet soda and short-term memory loss. So I decided I'm going to drink less Coke Zero. But I'm going to be honest, as your pastor, I don't know if I'm doing the things in my life that would actually make that come to fruition. Is what you are doing to your soul the same? Listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. We will not do what we need to do to bless our souls, like children resisting a nap. So many Christians fight the very thing that their soul needs. So here's the hardest question I'm going to ask you today. Am I willing to do what it takes to care for my soul? Let me make it clear, only Jesus can save my soul for eternity. But I have to partner with Jesus to save my soul from infirmity in this present life. Yet very few Christians have a conscious plan for taking care of their souls. Instead, we lie to ourselves. We naively cling to the illusion that it's just a season we're going through. I'm going to get through this season and then things are going to get better. My soul is going to get better. I just need more time. Can I be honest? You ain't getting more time. God gives you 24 hours in a day. That's not changing. You do not need more time. You need to use the time God has given you differently. In other words, you need to accept the yoke of Jesus. You see, the thing is, you can't have the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. If I said, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I think 100% of you would say, absolutely, I think that. But you know what? We think he's the truth more than we think he's the way. And so, we believe what he says more than we're willing to live like he lived. Could you imagine a stressed out Jesus? Imagine Jesus saying to anybody, listen, I'm just too fried right now to heal you. I just don't have enough right now to love you like you want me to love you. You say, well, he's God. Yeah, he was, is, but he was also fully, fully man. When you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus intentionally engaging in practices that nourished his soul. So over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about what some of those practices are, but I'll give you a little bit of a preview right now. One of them was sleep. Jesus knew that God made us to sleep. Jesus could even sleep on a boat in a storm if his body said, it's time to sleep. By the way, the light switch has really messed us all up. Do you know before Thomas Edison and the light bulb, the average person slept 11 hours a day? Because it was dark. You go back and you read about, you know, the getting up at 4 a.m. to pray. We're like, wow, that's so great. Well, they went to bed at 6 p.m. Here's the thing. In Scripture, the psalmist says sleep is an act of faith. Sleeping is not only taking care of my body and my soul, but it's saying, God, you've got this. You're in charge. You are the one on the throne. I can rest while you run the world. Another practice of Jesus was the deliberate pursuit of silence. We often see Jesus in the Gospels seeking solitary places to pray and recover. He sent his disciples out on their first big mission, and he knew that when they came back, they were going to be spent. Look what he says in Mark chapter 6, the latter part of verse 31. Come with me by yourselves to a, notice, quiet place and get some rest. Do you believe it's important in your life to create margin for God? Because here's what I believe about most of you. Most of you, you really do love God. Many of you, though, don't practice making a priority time with God. And your soul suffers because of its constant exposure to noise and rush. And finally, Jesus was intentional about the practice of Sabbath. In fact, next week, that's what I'm going to be preaching on to you about this whole experience. You see, it was a rhythm of Jesus' life that every single week he went to synagogue. That means every week Jesus went to church to publicly worship with other believers because his soul needed it. He did this because he understood that when it says Sabbath was made for man, it's not just talking about a day, it's talking about an orientation. That God's gift of rest is what we need to flourish. You see, Sabbath reminds us we are not what we do. Your value next week is not determined by how much you crank out and produce. Your value was determined by someone who loved you on a cross. Sabbath calls us to embrace our limits and accept the reality that this world and the people that you love do not depend on your activity. They depend on His activity. And that is hard for a prideful person like myself to accept. Almost 4 years ago in March, I had a stroke. 6 weeks later, I had a second stroke. And it was a life-changing experience in every way. But I remember I was so tired after the strokes and expressing to the doctor that why can't I get going? And he told me, because you need rest. And I got angry. My family needs me. My church needs me. I need to be doing things. I need to be making stuff happen. And God rebuked me. And God told me, I had the fort under control before you ever got there. They're fine. You see, we live in an age where it is possible to always be at work. And again, these dopamine dispensers, they are the problem. The current paradigm and expectation is that you should be available 24/7 if I want you. Think about this. Which commandment of the 10 commandments will Christians applaud you if you break? Think about your job. Think about my job. Could I be the pastor of this church if I cheated on my wife and committed adultery? Could I be the pastor of this church if I consistently always told lies from the pulpit? Could I be the pastor of this church if I'm out driving and experience road rage and shoot somebody? But you know what I could do? I could work myself to the bone. I could fry my own spirit with constant frenetic activity, and I would be applauded by Christians for my output. And you will at your job as well. It's one of the commands that Christians will celebrate if you break it. Some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, the devil never takes a day off. Well, he's the devil. I don't think our goal is to be like the devil. These last few years, they've been hard on all of us. Our souls are worn out. But the lie is that there's a quick fix to this. If I could just go on some retreat, if I could have just a really powerful worship encounter, maybe if I could go hire like a life coach or pay for some therapy, all of those things are good, by the way. None of those are negatives. But there is no quick fix for restoring your soul. What Jesus is calling us to do is intentionally build the kind of life that is good for our souls. A life that has rhythms to it, and it makes room for God. And if we build it, He will come. Because He wants to fill us. Please notice that Jesus did not say, learn about me. He said, learn from me. He is not offering escape. He's offering equipment. He's offering a yoke. He's offering to teach us a way to do life that keeps our souls healthy. So let me get very candid. This has been my burden for quite some time. But my concern was, even putting together this message, that as I stand up here and I preach this sermon to you, that most of you in the church are going to say 100%, man, I agree with you, Pastor. That's so right on. And then only a very small percentage of you are going to do anything in your life differently at all. Because we have just accepted as normal the way that we do life, even though it is killing our souls, that nothing really has to change. And here's an important thing to remember about your soul. It's not going to scream at you if you ignore it. At least not at first. The outer world screams at us all the time. It's always wanting more of your attention. And the great lie is to believe that if you can improve your scorecard in the outer world, then somehow you can get more peace and more joy in your inner world. But Jesus disagrees with that. In fact, maybe the most important question ever asked is this question from Jesus: what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? And what if Jesus isn't just talking about eternity and your eternal destination? What if he's talking about the way you do life right now? So I close with this question: what have I really won if I lost my soul in the process? Can it really be considered a success if it seduced me away from the cultivation of my soul, that part of me that connects with God? Dallas Willard said, the most important thing is not what you do, it is who you become. That's what you take into eternity. You see, on the great exam, there's only going to be two questions. Did you become someone who passionately loved God, and did you become someone who could consistently love people? And we cannot love well when our souls are depleted and weary. The gospel shows us over and over that Jesus said you can't love and be in a hurry. In fact, it's interesting, the metaphor he used in his Sermon on the Mount. When you talk to people that are fried, exhausted, anxious, worried, worn out, why do you do that? Jesus asks. The pagans run after all that. Why are you living where you're just always running? He's calling us to model a different way to live, because he knows the world needs a witness of people with rested, healthy, non-anxious souls. Because here's the thing, non-Christians, they don't read the Bible. Non-Christians read Christians. And the real win is when they notice it is well with your soul. So here's the challenge: be more soulful. Be in a place where you want someone to pray those words over you. I hope everything in your life is as good as your soul is right now. I read a story about a guy named Bob Davie. He died in 2020 in England. He was 91 years old when he died. He and his wife had found a church in the countryside. It was near their home, but the church was in major disrepair. It had been vandalized. Actually, it had even been desecrated by Satanists. So Bob made it his life mission for the last 22 years of his life. He wanted to restore that little church called St. Mary's, and he did a really good job. He brought back to life a place that was sacred, a place where people could commune with God. In fact, as they were restoring and cleaning out things, They found some paintings of Bible stories that were 1,000 years old. Let that sink in. 700 years before Iowa even was a state, there were pictures in that church building bringing glory to God. What Bob did for a church, Jesus wants to do for you. So listen again to the words of the best song ever. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. This is the invitation that Jesus is offering for people who were ready to stop calling normal what is killing them and take his yoke upon themselves. So after you leave today, is it going to be more of the same? Or are you going to let Jesus save your soul? Would you stand up? I want to pray over you this morning. Oh God, give us ears to hear the things that we really need to hear. Give us the courage to change the things that we really need to change. Because we hope, if not today, then soon, that a dear friend could pray over us those words. I hope everything in your life is doing as well as your soul. It's hard, Jesus. The last few years have been very hard. So we invite you, Lord, to come restore our souls for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.